And we're going to read chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And our text is the first verse, the last half of it. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word again today. As we said last week and earlier at Mother's Day, what a gift. What a gift God has given you young people in godly fathers and mothers to lead you in the way of instruction, to know and to fear God and to live for Him. And what gift your confession of faith this morning is to your godly parents. As the Apostle John says in the third epistle of John, the fourth verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Notice not only know the truth, but know the truth spiritually and therefore walk in the truth. Yes, our attention is drawn upon sons and daughters, the calling to bring joy to their parents by walking in wisdom. It's very obvious from the first verse that we have a new section here in the book of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 are really a lengthy introduction to the book of Proverbs. It speaks about the value and the worth of wisdom. And we're going to have to look at what that wisdom is. That's going to be the first point. Covenant children walking in wisdom bring joy. That is the theme of verse 1. That is the theme of the whole book. If we look a little bit further in Proverbs, Proverbs 15, verse 20, we have almost the same words. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 23. We read there in verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Again in Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. I'll just pick one more passage from Proverbs, Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. We see there all the time through the book of Proverbs the contrast, don't we? The contrast of a godly man with the foolish man, the sinful man, the reprobate. The contrast of wise sons and daughters over against foolish sons and daughters. Our text speaks about the gift that brings joy to parents. The first point, instruction in wisdom. The need for the children to continue in that wisdom. And then the joy of doing so. What is this wisdom that the author of Proverbs is speaking about, Solomon? Well, if we're going to speak about what that wisdom is, let's first of all negatively speak of what it's not. It is not the wisdom of the world. It is not that our children go to great colleges or that they work so hard to succeed materially. that they are great in technology, or they're lawyers, or they are doctors. It's not those things, and it's not pride in children who succeed materially in the world, are the top of the class, are very intelligent. So often in the world there is great pride when our children become prominent in society or successful in business or are honored by others or are great in prosperity. That's what the world is all seeking. Let's get ahead here in the world. Let's have a top place in society. Over against the wisdom of the world is the wisdom of God. It is a spiritual wisdom. Knowing God, acknowledging He is Lord, Master, recognizing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And it's something that's not found in the world, but it's a gift of God. God gives this spiritual wisdom to His people. He works it in the hearts of His own. It's a very practical wisdom. For God's truth is practical. There are those times when people want to make a false distinction between doctrinal or practical preaching. Doctrinal preaching, if it's not practical, is not worthwhile. But it is the truths of God's Word, when understood and known and lived, that is practical. We know whom we serve, we know why we serve Him, we know how we are to serve Him, and we know the reward that comes to those who serve God in Christ Jesus. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. I live for me, myself, and I." God's children bow down before God's Word where He instructs them, where He teaches them, where He leads them, and they follow. What is this wisdom that the young man and young women are instructed in, grow up in? That wisdom in the first part of Proverbs is personified, isn't it? In other words, that wisdom is Christ Himself. Listen a moment when we read in Proverbs chapter 8, so two chapters back from our text. Proverbs 8 verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I, wisdom, that's Christ. Or again, verse 17 of Proverbs 8. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Beloved, that's Christ Jesus. Again, in Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That wisdom is Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Christ. Christ and Him alone. There are all the treasures of wisdom found. And in His Word, we are shown the cross of Jesus Christ, where He stood in the place of you and of me. He took your and my sins upon Himself. And He said, "It's finished." That debt of sin paid in full by Him, and His righteousness given to us. What a blessing the wise son is and the wise daughter, born to wise fathers and mothers. Oh, not all have wise fathers and mothers. Perhaps some of you know those who have had foolish fathers and mothers, but you were brought out of heathendom into the church. Perhaps your parents didn't recognize God in Christ Jesus as their God. But you three young people, you did have godly fathers and mothers that instructed you. And yes, that is what is needed to have this kind of wisdom. It's a gift of God. We read in Proverbs 10, verse 17, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." In other words, you folks, but you young people, you weren't born with wisdom. In fact, we're born just the other way, aren't we? We're born in darkness, in sin, in foolishness. And that's why that great gift of God in regeneration, where we're given new hearts, where we were darkened before, we're enlightened to know Him. Our hearts are enlarged to love Him. And our lives and our feet are prone then to walk by His grace in the way that He teaches us. So this wisdom that our text speaks about, especially as it's in Christ Jesus, is a gift of God. God gives it to His people. God is instrumental in there, and He is pleased to use your godly parents. He was pleased to use the Christian education that you have received in most of your, all your life. He has put you in a Christian church where week after week we are led in God's Word, like sheep led in green pastures, to eat their fill, to be nourished, to grow up, to grow fat in wisdom. That's the responsibility. We spoke last Sunday morning about the compassion of a father. In our passage, we're now talking about the instruction of godly parents. The fathers as the head of the home, making sure there is that instruction of their children. But because he's gone to work much of the time, the mother there taking the place, opening up the storybook Bible, or opening up the Sunday school lesson, which is going to start this week, and explaining it to the children. Oh, what a delightful task God gives to parents. Raise them up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. Now, that's not absolute, is it? We know that there are wayward sons and daughters in the church just as well as out in the world. But God makes a promise that He continues to gather His church in our generations. And so we have seated here this morning sons and daughters, some little children still in the wombs of their mothers. We have their parents, then we have their grandparents, and we even have their great-grandparents. Looking at this blessing of God's goodness, giving us these sons and daughters who fear Him. What diligence that means for fathers and mothers. What self-sacrifice. You probably, after you're done with work, want to just sit back in your easy chair and have a glass of wine and relax, and yet you're the head of the home. And you're called there to give attention to your wife and to give attention to your children around the table. Diligence, self-sacrifice, commitment. Commitment that as long as they are in your home, that you will continue to minister to them. That is, serve the family with God's word and with godly example. That is not just a concern on Sundays, but it is a daily concern. That with the words of your mouth, but also with a godly example, your children are taught. We read in Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after them. Wisdom. Instructed in wisdom. Born in sin, regenerated by God, God uses godly parents, he uses Christian schools, he uses the Church of Jesus Christ. That we are like that man in Psalm 1, nourished by streams of living water. That's the first point. Instructed in wisdom, that is instructed in the knowledge of our God in Christ Jesus, the rich, rich salvation that he pours out on us. My second point, the need to continue in wisdom. The implication is in our text is that children are to receive and to learn this from their parents, to be instructed by them. And so you have Solomon in the Proverbs speaking usually always in the male figures of a father to his son. But don't be fooled, it's not just sons that need that instruction, it's daughters also. So we read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 2, verse 6, we read, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3, the first four verses. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. That verse, Proverbs 3 verse 4, is almost exactly carried over to our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ, born in our human nature, he also needed to learn and be instructed by his parents and by those who taught in the different places of worship. For we read of Jesus Christ also that he grew in his knowledge and understanding and in favor of God and of man. Instructed so that our children may continue to in that wisdom. Some colleges say, we want to knock out of you as young people, any of the stuff that you were growing up with. We want you to think for yourself. God's word didn't say that. God, who is pleased to use godly fathers and mothers, he wants you to take that stuff that was given to you with sweat and tears and hold on to it, to treasure it in your heart. Proverbs 4. We read in verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Hold on to those things that were taught to you, young people, in your Christian homes, in your Christian classrooms, at school, and in church, where you were baptized, where you were raised, and now you continue to work in fellowship with the whole church. Let me read just one more passage on that instruction from parents. I'm thinking now of Proverbs 7. We read the first four verses. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws, the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Hopefully most of us can look back at our childhood the way that our fathers and mothers cared for us, had compassion with us, taught us, and treasure it. And then we grow up and we start our own homes, and then we repeat that process with our children. Continue in that instruction, in that wisdom, to guide you in every area of your life. Learn how practical that knowledge is. For example, the Heidelberg Catechism starting, I am not my own. Be thankful for that. I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Practical. It means I live for Him. I want to hear His word written down for us. I want to grow. I want to grow in my love for Him, and I want to grow in my understanding of what He has all done for me and what He is doing for me and what He will do for us. Love for God. Over against the foolishness of the world that lives for themselves, that lives for sin, that lives for the devil, contrast to that is the instruction that has been given, will continue to be given to God's people to walk in it. Not pride in yourselves. Look, I did this or I did that. But no, thankfulness to God, what He is doing for us by His word. And as you grow more and more independent, because it won't be that many years and you'll be leaving your parents' home, starting your own homes. Never rebelling against the instruction that you have received from your parents, from God's Word. From the instruction that you have received in our Christian schools, from God's Word. From the instruction that you have received from the pulpit as the pastor opens up that Word of God and explains it and applies it. And while the book of Proverbs celebrates that wisdom and that instruction given to covenant children, oh, the warnings that also come in the book of Proverbs regarding the sins that are in today's world. Warning that we don't join the world, that we're not friends of the world, for if you're friends of the world, then you are enemies of God. For that world revels in great wickedness, continues to grow in its wickedness and rebellion against God. Proverbs speaks about the immorality of sons that go to the harlot, and the immorality that we see in the world that is creeping into the church. So that in one of the church periodicals several years ago, a writer was saying that, yes, we should expect our children to engage in fornication, for they have to learn how to get along with someone else. They have to learn about that aspect of life too. Such foolish and sinful speaking. Or churches condoning even those who walk in sin. How often doesn't the book of Proverbs talk about the vanity of riches? That you can heap up more and more things of this world for yourself, materialism, and be a fool in God's eyes. Isn't that what God said, or Jesus Christ said about that rich fool who built bigger and bigger barns? And he says, soul, you're taken care of for life. He was looking at things rather than knowing and being right with God. How often doesn't the book of Proverbs warn against drunkenness? And we need to hear that. Yes, it's okay to have a glass of wine or a beer, but how much do you take? Are you senseless at times, doing foolish things then, saying foolish things? It warns about drunkenness, or it warns against laziness. The young man that's slothful in harvest doesn't gather in his crops. But the wise son is diligent and works hard. How the book of Proverbs warns about strife and anger and hatred. And we need the wisdom then of God in Christ Jesus in order to fight against and avoid all those sins that come to us only too easily because of our sinful nature. What a calling in our passage to young people. Born in a covenant home. Given Christian instruction in the home, in the church, in the school. Listen to it. When your parents still will instruct you, maybe call you out for something that you did wrong, don't say, don't give me another sermon. But receive their wise instruction. Receive it with your mind, also with your heart. And then live that instruction. That will bring gladness to your parents. Is that the motif of your life? For that is the motif of this particular verse, isn't it? A wise son maketh a glad father. The contrast, a foolish son, is the heaviness of his mother. So young people, and I mean everyone here, do you care about the instruction that you receive from your parents, or the instruction that you receive from Christian teachers, or the instruction that you receive from the elders and the pastor? Or do you say, I want joy and gladness in my life. I want to do whatever my sinful flesh desires. Who cares about dad and mom? From the pulpit, hear, please. Hear. Heed that instruction that you were raised with. Yes, even godly parents do foolish things. And that's where the catechism warns us that we deal patiently with their stumbling and weaknesses. But love. Love the instruction that has been given to you in your years and your youth. That brings me to my third point. The joy of doing it. What is this joy of these fathers and these mothers? And negatively, it is not an earthly or a carnal joy or pride. Where you say, look at my kid. I did a good job with them. The joy that we feel is a joy in the Lord. The joy that He is a covenant God. That the very fellowship within the triune God is now given to us, or we are taken up into that fellowship. And we know God is our Father. And we are instructed by Him. And we are brought together as brothers and sisters in the church, loving one another, having fellowship together. It's a joy in the Lord. The Lord's doing that. It's the Lord only that can give that new heart. It's the joy of the Lord only who calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is the joy in the Lord who works faith and strengthens faith in our lives. It is a joy in the Lord that preserves us through our pilgrimage in this world. And when our feet sometimes do slip off the right way into the broad way that leads to destruction, God calls us back again to Himself over and over and over again. What is this joy of a father and mother? It is a joy in the very salvation of the Lord. The Lord does that. Our salvation from beginning to end is His work. He chose us, gave us to Jesus Christ, sent His Son to die for us, pours out His Spirit in our hearts, leads and directs us, preserves us until He finally takes us home to be with Him again. Elders, a pastor like the Apostle John say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And the contrast that is in our text, verse 1, over against the wise son or daughter, the covenant child, there is also the foolish son or daughter who proved themselves to be reprobates. Foolish because they despise the wisdom and instruction that has been given to them by God through those various means. They throw it away. They don't care for it, just like Esau didn't care for the birthright. He sold it for just a pot of soup. The contrast over against the gladness of fathers and mothers in wise sons and daughters is the heaviness of heart in foolish sons and daughters. There's great sorrow. Heaviness of heart. Great and many tears over that son or daughter who walks away from that truth. Even while they continue to pray that yet in their life that child will be turned by God back to Himself. Sorrow, some of you know that sorrow. Sons or daughters that have gone astray. God will judge the rebellious. But let's celebrate the good gifts of sons and daughters who are wise. Wise in Christ Jesus. And therefore they love God. They love His Word. They love their salvation in Christ. And they desire that their feet will walk in a straight way that leads to heaven. What a proper motif at this occasion. When we baptize our sons and our daughters, the parents made promises. The little baby didn't know what was going on, except maybe the pastor used a lot of water. But now you've come of age. You've been taught. And now you stand up before God's people as you stood before the elders earlier. And you confess, yes, yes, the instruction that we have received in this Christian church, that's the instruction I love, and that's the instruction I'm going to keep. I won't leave it. I won't leave it. What a gift these wise sons and daughters are. The week before Father's Day, I kept on getting emails about, hey, here's a gift yet for your father. Come to this store. So Kohl's has shirts and ties. Harbor Freight has all kinds of tools you can use. Another store has camping materials, fishing gears. Let's buy Dad this. Let's buy Dad this. No greater gift can be given to godly parents than children who know and love the Lord and walk in His commandments. Even children in the world want to, at times, please their parents. How much more that should be in the household of faith. Your parents that have spent much time and prayers and much money for a Christian education, seeing their children molded and shaped into young men and young women of God who have hearts full of love for their God, who want to know more and more about their God. That's the sermon tonight. Hallowed be thy name. And then obedience, walking in his commandments. How wonderful when there is that unity in our Christian homes. Fathers and mothers with their children around the table, soaking up God's word, speaking of spiritual things, encouraging one another in God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, and we can add daughter, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son or daughter is the heaviness of his mother. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these truths that are pressed upon us from thy word. The instruction of Solomon to his child. The instruction of our parents with their sons and their daughters. Bless, O Lord, that instruction. Bless our children that they may continue in these things. That we will continue to walk in wisdom and in obedience. Continue, O Father, to bless thy church in our generations, and also as thy gospel goes out to those around us who do not know thee, adding to thy church daily such as should be saved. We are thankful, Father, thou art the giver of these good gifts. Amen. After speaking about the home, it's only proper that we sing a psalter number that deals with a Christian home. Number 360, Family Happiness.